Let's thank Michelle for sharing it once again. And at this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker, and that is Jeannie.
All right.
Hi, my name is Jeannie. I'm an addict.
Hi, Jeannie.
And I'm going to say I'm really not nervous because I teach classes to accountants. So you guys are great. And you're a friendly audience. One of the things that I always listen to in the readings is we don't care what or how much you used or who your connections were. And that's my story. I came in, I came from what looked from the outside like a fairly normal family, I thought. But we were four children. I think we had a bath like once a month, if. My dad sometimes came home, slept in the car, and we thought that was funny. My mom would wake us up in the middle of the night because we had to go pick up my dad. My mom would wake me up in the middle of the night and beat the crap out of me. This is how I grew up. This is the life I had. This is what I thought was normal. This is what I thought happened. And I had friends, and I couldn't ask them into my house because the house was so disgusting. Or I couldn't go and spend the night with them because my parents, at the same time while they were, my dad was gone a lot. He worked out of town a lot. And my mom was really strict, like really, really strict. I was not allowed to sleep over anybody's house. I wasn't allowed to do shit. And I was always in trouble. I was always on restriction, always. I don't know why. But I do know that when I left home, I wanted something different, and I thought I had found it in drugs. I wanted something different, and I knew every time I used exactly how I would feel. I always knew how I would feel, and it was different from the way I felt when I wasn't using drugs, and that's why I used. I came to Narcotics Anonymous when I was very young. I have 11,531 days today. Translated to 31 years. So I came when I was like 7. I came into Narcotics. Well, first I came in through the other fellowship because I thought that one drug was my problem. I thought that was my problem. And I focused on that one drug. And I had a sponsor. And I didn't, interestingly enough, I didn't use other drugs because somebody warned me, well, that'll just lead you to drinking. And so I didn't do that. I didn't use the other drugs that were not alcohol while I was in that other fellowship. Well, and the way I got into that other fellowship is I was a musician, and I was playing music. I was trying to be a rock star, and my using kind of got in the way because I wouldn't pay my bar tab, or my bar tab was way over what I earned that night, and I would like shoot out the back door, and I wasn't invited back to play again. I don't know why. And so I met this guy who was also a musician, and we actually would share the stage sometimes. He would play and then I would play. And he was in that other fellowship, and he would go to these meetings, and we would go out on a date, and he'd say, well, first I need to go to a meeting. And I'd go to a meeting with him, and I'd say, this is just so great for you. I'm so proud of you. And so I ended up, long story short, I ended up going into the hospital I was hemorrhaging, and the doctor at the hospital, and it was Capitol Hill Hospital. If any of you are from D.C., it was not It no longer exists, but it was not the best hospital in the world. And a doctor that was there was volunteering, and he took me in, and I was on the, they took me into emergency surgery to fix me. And I came out, and I was still, like, I was semi-conscious, my normal state. And the doctor says to me, I said, what happened? He said, well, I want to wait until you're more conscious to talk to you. I said, no, I'm like this all the time. I'm going to remember. And he looked at me in disgust. And you know, I was in that hospital for 2 weeks, and he would not give me painkillers, God damn it. I was so upset. And he said, I am keeping you here so that you will live. And I got out of that hospital, and I was off. I was so mad at that doctor. He had no idea who I was. Well, I kept going to these meetings with this guy, and something clicked. Now I kept using, but something clicked at one point. And I remember telling him, I remember sitting in his car, his van, and I said, I think I might have a problem. And I went to a meeting the next night on my own. And from September 23rd, 1983, I stayed clean. And do I know that I'm in the right place? I know I'm in the right place. Everybody I used with is dead. Everybody. Now, they continued on for years and years and years. And I use just as hard, if not harder, than they did. What has been revealed to me? I have a lot of experience. I have a lot of joy. I have a lot of sorrow. And I've not gone through any of it alone, ever. When I got clean, I think I got pregnant the same day I got clean. And the guy that I was following around broke up with me when I was 6 months pregnant. So I had this little baby, and I had this sponsor. And before I had this little baby, the sponsor was telling me, you know, you don't have to keep this baby. And I said, I know I don't have to keep this baby. Well, you are just new in recovery, and you don't know what you're doing. And I said, okay, I'll give this baby up for adoption. That's what I'll do. And I went to this place. It was for mothers, you know, and with mothers, blah, blah, blah. And we went through counseling, and one of the counselors said to me, you know, you've never talked about keeping your baby. And I said, well, I can't. I'm new in recovery. I don't know how to take care of a baby. And I was thinking about the experience I had growing up, which was not very good. How am I going to be a mom? I don't know how to be a mom. And I had this little baby, a little girl. And I kept her with me the first night because I had her, you know, I was doing the crunchy granola midwife mom thing. And I took her to the adoption agency the next day, and I went home, and all of a sudden I got this feeling of hope. I got this feeling of, you know what, if I stay clean, I can do anything. I can do anything. And I called them up and I said, I want my baby back. My baby's 30 years old. It wasn't easy, but I stayed clean, and on my first anniversary, I met this guy. You know, guys are a lot in my story, I'll tell you. And I have to tell you, I was one of the luckiest people in the world. I think we were both the luckiest people in the world that we met each other, and we were both absolutely batshit crazy, and we got married 2 years later. And we stayed married until he passed in 2002. And he died as a result of hepatitis C as a result of his use. And that time, we were married. He supported me so I could finish college. He supported me through the CPA exam. And I said, what about an MBA? And he said, fuck no. I am tired of doing this fucking laundry for you. You need to go to work, girl. And, I mean, I was working through all that. And at the same time, I was working through all that. And I had a little baby boy. We named him Eli. And my friends used to joke that my daughter, we had to save for college, and for him, we had to save for treatment, because he would need rehab a lot. He was 11 years old when his daddy died, and I was alone. My daughter had just gone off to college, and we were there by ourselves. And he was 11, and I thought he was much older than he was, because he had such an old soul. And he really wasn't. He was a little boy. And I started dating. I started dating all the wrong people. And he was such an amazing little kid. Like, I would go to work, and I'd come home, and he would have gone to the store because we were out of lettuce so we could have salad for dinner. And he said, I went into your drawer, and I found some change because we were out of lettuce. And I feel like, what did I do to deserve this child? Well, I dated some real winners. And one of them, I dated a doctor, and I thought because he was a doctor, he was okay. Well, I don't know what was wrong with him. But I remember my son at age 14 saying to me, Mom, you can have anybody you want and you pick this? And that sticks in my head all the time. Well, he was really a good kid up until 16. And started getting into trouble, started skipping school, he was using. He was an artist and he stopped doing his art. He was a musician, he stopped playing music. And I watched the disease of addiction take hold of my little boy. And he would get clean a little while and then he wouldn't. And there was a point in time. He said, Mom, he finally finished high school, God knows how. But he finished high school and he said, I want to go to college. And the only place he could go to college was a community college because his grades were not so good. And so we went to California because there are community colleges there, believe it or not, that have dormitories. And I thought this was a really good idea. Oh, no. And within 3 months, he wrote me a letter and he said, Mom, I need to go to rehab. I really need to go. It's bad. He had sold his musical instruments, his computer for drugs. So I took him to rehab. All the while, I'm going to meetings. I am going to meetings. Now, there was a period of time where I wasn't. There was a period of time where I was with another guy. That, and not the doctor, this was a different guy. And he had spent some time in prison for drug-related charges, but he wasn't an addict. Jeannie. I had 25 years clean. I'm with this guy. Anyway. And he's going out at like 1 o'clock in the morning and I don't think anything of it. What the fuck, Jeannie? And I wasn't in touch with my network at that time. I was living in a place called Gaithersburg, which is really far away from my people. And actually, I lived in Geneva, Switzerland, for a period of time for work. That's really far away from my people. I managed to get to meetings there, but it wasn't the same. So anyway, my son got into treatment, and I started dating another guy. This other guy is from my past, and he was the wrong person to date right after my husband died. He was married at the time. He was married, and I was I had a lot of recovery. What was I doing? Well, I started dating him again because he had left his wife, and I thought it was going to be okay. And it really wasn't. Well, my son got clean. He lived in Philadelphia, and he lived in a recovery house. And he came down and he shared for my 29th anniversary. He celebrated a year clean. I had healed with my mother. I had come to terms with that, and in December of 2010, my mom died, and I called both of my children, and I asked them if they would go with me to the funeral. And my son said, "Absolutely, Mom, I'm here for you." And my daughter said, "Of course." And they never really cared for me that much, but they understood she was my mom. She's my mom. And we went, and we were there with my dad, and I went to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting with my son. And I remember he shared in this meeting, he said something like, "You know, you guys do everything very differently in California." That's where my parents live. "And I'm not sure I like this meeting, but I feel at home here anyway." Because I didn't always like it being at home, but I felt at home there. And I remember that share. That's the last time I got to go to a meeting with my son. My son turned 21 on January 22nd, 2012. And 5 days later, he was hit by a car and killed. I don't know how I would have gotten through that if not for the people in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm not saying that grief is cured by the steps, because it certainly isn't. But the hope, the love, the support is all here. And there was not a minute that I wanted to use. There were times when I wanted to die. And when people say things happen for a reason, I get mad. I get angry because what the fuck? He didn't do shit to deserve that. That's what I say. When people say it's God's will, fuck you. That's what I have to say. God cries with me. It was a mistake. That's not God's plan. God wants us to live. My God does. God wants us to thrive. God wants us to be here for each other. That's what God, my God, wants. That's what's been revealed to me. I've had a lot of shit happen. Not only have I lost half of my family, I had a mastectomy in the middle of all this. But let me tell you what I've gotten. I've lost a lot, but my God, I've gotten so much more. And that's why I'm standing here right now, because I've gotten so much more. I can stand tall. I can walk in front of a room of fucking CPAs and teach a class and know that I know my shit and believe in myself. And I did that. I didn't do that alone. I did that with the support of people in Narcotics Anonymous. I can have a relationship with my daughter so different from the relationship that I had with my mother, because I learned how to be a mom in Narcotics Anonymous. I got that here. I have a relationship with my family, with my sister, with one of my brothers. My other brother is, unfortunately, should be a member, and it makes me sad. But I can be there for him, and I have been there for him to help him into rehab. And he has had 6 months of recovery, and he knows how happy he could be. He knows what it's like. I know how to own my own shit. I know how to look at my shit. I know how to look at when I'm sorry you're leaving. Bye. I love you. I know how to own my stuff. I know how to examine my life. I know how to accept responsibility. Not too long ago, I was at work. Well, it was maybe a couple years ago. And I hated this client. I did not like this woman. She was nasty, mean. She just was demanding and wanted me to do backflips. And they weren't paying us very much. So I went in and I told my boss that she was saying things that actually she wasn't quite saying, that I was inferring that she was saying really nasty things. And he said, "Well, I'm going to call her and tell her she can't talk to you like that." And my stomach flipped because I had just lied. I said, and I went back to my office, and I couldn't even sit down in my chair. I had to go back to his office, and I said, "You know, I just lied to you because I hate working with this fucking client." And he said, "Okay, we'll take you off the assignment." And, you know, that's what I get. That's what I get. I got to learn how to act. Because my program before I got in here wasn't working too well. Wasn't working too well at all. And so, do I miss my husband? Do I miss my son? Absolutely. Would I rather have them? Absolutely. But what I have today is peace and hope. Never for a minute after they died, never for a minute did I lose hope. Because there's always this one little thing, every once in a while, just a glimpse of, oh, that's how it feels to be okay. Just, I hung on to that, and that's how it feels to be okay, just that half a second. And if you're new, just hang on to that half a second and remember it, because that's what got me through. That's what kept me clean. That's what's been revealed to me. I'm a grateful member of Narcotics Anonymous. My name is Jeannie, and I'm an addict.
All right, let's thank Jeannie and Michelle again for sharing.